Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Women's Soccer Zone. My name is Kieran Tavem and I'm, as always, joined by my good friend out in Connecticut, JJ Duke. JJ, it feels weird, mate. Obviously, the last show that we recorded was in person. Back to the old Skype, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's just talking to a faceless computer and waiting for voice cues. That's about it on our
Yeah, just for anyone who's interested, not that you are, JJ and I don't do face-to-face Skype. I don't think he wants to see my face, and I certainly don't want to see his. So it makes it a lot more simple. But cracking on, we have... it's going to be a bit of a shorter show, I think. Well, certainly plans to be anyway. But we will have a chat about Kelly Smith. Kelly Smith announced her retirement while JJ and I were in Los Angeles for the NWSL draft. We haven't had a chance to speak about that. So we will have a brief conversation about what that means for football over here in England. Speaking of England, there's been some high-profile moves in the FAWSL, which we need to have a chat about. England have been in action in La Manga. They've had a couple of friendlies against Norway and Sweden. There have been a few games going on over in Spain. And while I was in Los Angeles, I managed to go over to some US Women's National Team training in Carson. And myself and other media members were able to chat to Ali Long and Carly Lloyd. So we will play some of the audio from those interviews. And, of course, we can have a chat about what's in store for the US Women's National Team this year with no major tournament to look forward to. So after this quick break, we will carry on with a chat about Kelly Smith.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSOZone.
So welcome back, JJ. While I was flying over to Los Angeles for the NWSL draft, I landed and I checked my phone, and one of the first things that I see is that Kelly Smith has announced her retirement from football, an individual who, over a long career, was a big pioneer for women's football in this country. I think, without question, the biggest superstar this country has ever had in terms of female footballers. Generated a lot of attention, not just here, but I think globally. From an American perspective, I spoke to people while I was over there, and everyone only had good things to say about Kelly. What's your thoughts on her, on that retirement and what it means for Kelly Smith?
Well, I mean, obviously, if you know anything about world women's football, you know Kelly Smith. I mean, I've never personally met her, which is, I would say, kind of disappointing because I've heard that she is just an absolutely lovely person to be around. But on the field, you said the best. She's one of those players that kind of changed the norm for strikers. Obviously, can do just about anything you can ask out of a forward. Difference in the sense that she came over here to the U.S. and played collegiate soccer, but she didn't play for a traditional power. She played for Seton Hall in... not exactly a great area in North Jersey. Now, I know I'm going to get a lot of people that are going to say things about that. I went to school in New Jersey, a bit south of there. But, you know, she went to a program which was not a heralded program, but she absolutely crushed it there. Then, you know, did about everything that you could for Arsenal. And, you know, the thing that stood out to me was, you know, her play whenever she represented her national team. Because... you know, when you always talk about the epitome of representing your country, it is wearing the shirt, representing the badge, and all the people that live in that country. And every time that she took to the field for England, you felt that. You felt that watching her play, you felt the passion. And, you know, I think that's something that will never go unnoticed.
I completely agree with you. I can't really say much more than that in terms of on the pitch. I think... I've had the pleasure of getting to know Kelly over an eight-year period. I first interviewed her in 2009. And I'm actually going to write a piece on Kelly for our new website, which we'll talk about a little bit more at the end of the show. But having known her for as long as I have, I think sometimes shyness can be misinterpreted for arrogance. And Kelly is one of those where, despite the status that she's got, despite what she's achieved in the game, despite the attention that she's kind of attracted as a result of her status... she's a very, very shy individual, very reserved, very modest, and very laid back. And one of the things that there is not an arrogant bone in Kelly Smith's body, but there was kind of an arrogance on the field in terms of how she played. I think you ask any player that's played against her, and they will always put Kelly kind of high up on in terms of toughest opponents that they've come up against. And you speak to some of the American players, and you know, they've played with some of the best in the world in that US women's national team, and Kelly Smith's name always crops up, and it's a big loss to the game, isn't it? And a big loss to English football. But thankfully, she is going to stay in the game. She's going to carry on coaching at Arsenal Ladies. But a pioneer and someone who'll be sorely missed.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think it's one of those things right now that, you know, Arsenal's doing the proper thing in having, you know, one of those testimonial matches for her. I would have hoped that England would have probably gotten into this, because obviously they've done that for legends of the men's game. You can probably speak a little bit to it more, but I don't think that they've had, you know, one of those types of matches for a women's player yet. But I think Arsenal, you know, that's going to be a fun one. And I hope, and I'll put this one on record, mate, that I really hope that Arsenal can find a way to stream that match for folks living outside of England, because that's one of those things that I would personally enjoy seeing. I know a lot of people in this community, stateside, wouldn't, probably all over the world as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. That match that you referred to, her farewell match, February the 19th, don't really do it for the men's game in terms of an international level, mate. It does tend to be at club level that players will receive testimonials and farewell matches. So, yeah, good for Kelly and good for Arsenal that they're recognising that. No details as yet as to who is going to feature in that match, but I'm sure that with Kelly's connections and the players that she's played with, there's sure to be some decent players turning out. I actually had a chance to ask Laura Harvey while I was out in Los Angeles about Kelly's retirement very quickly, and I think it's worth just playing this few lines, because Laura had some really good things to say about Kelly having coached her at Arsenal Ladies.
With my short time with her as a coach, she would do things on the pitch that no one else would even consider doing, and do them consistently well. Her legacy will be she's the best player England's ever seen and may ever seen, and the most naturally gifted player I think our country will ever see. And I don't think anyone who knows her or seen her or played with her or coached her will ever speak highly enough about her.
So that was Laura Harvey. We'll move on, mate. As I say, I'm going to write a piece on Kelly Smith, so do keep an eye out on the Women's Soccer Zone website. As I said, we'll give details at the end of the show. But let's stay with Arsenal, because there's been some high-profile transfers in the FAWSL over the last few weeks, and none come higher than Heather O'Reilly, who has come over to England to join Arsenal Ladies. It was touted around. I don't think it was a big secret that she'd obviously trained with the club last year, and there were rumours that she might come back and sign a contract. And she has, and it looks like it's going to be for 18 months. You will have seen more of her than I have. I've seen my fair share. But talk about Heather O'Reilly and what that move will mean for Arsenal and for her as well.
Well, you know, with her obviously retired from the international game, she said, you know, throughout that whole process of being an alternate on the Olympic team and playing in those farewell matches for the national team, she said and made it quite clear, I'm not done in this sport. She feels that she has a lot to give to this game and still has a lot to achieve. And I think that's a good move for her, because I don't know what's left for her to kind of prove on the domestic stage. I think she won't be done yet playing in the NWSL. I still feel that probably one more time she's going to come back and, you know, maybe last couple of matches or a half season or a full season, you know, whatever she feels left to give, she'll play. But this is a good opportunity for her to play somewhere else. For Arsenal, I mean, you're going to get a player that loves to get up and down the right wing. It's kind of funny because it's almost predictable knowing where exactly she's going to take the ball. She's going to get the ball as wide as possible, take it to the end line, and either do one of three things. We'll continue going on, we'll deliver a killer pass, or shoot from the tight angle, and more often not, she's successful at all three. There's still absolutely nothing that a defender can do to stop it, which, you know, that's scary, because also thinking Heather is, you know, she's not at the back end in terms of age in the sport, but she's not, you know, a kid, but still she has, you know, a great pair of legs left, a lot of speed, a lot of energy, and she brings a lot of passion to the game as well, which, you know, you could almost kind of see that similarity to where Kelly played, not so much in terms of what you're saying, well, you said a couple of them, arrogance, excuse me, the arrogance. It's not so much in Heyo's game, but, you know, it is business for 90 minutes, high energy, high tempo, and I think that's, you know, that's what this team is going to get out of her.
Yeah, without doubt. I think when you lose a player like Kelly Smith, you need to try and do something impressive to try and replace that. Heather O'Reilly, they don't get much bigger. 231 caps for the United States over a God knows how many year period. It's an impressive move for Arsenal, and I think it's a big statement by the club and the FAWSL, and shows the type of players that the league is able to attract. And I'm sure that Heyo will settle in really well over here. Hopefully it attracts big crowds, because you're not often going to get players like that. We've obviously got Crystal Dunn coming to Chelsea as well, but this is a legend. This is a player with World Cup medals, with Olympic gold medals, and I think it's a big coup, and I look forward to seeing her over here. And I think she's going to be making her debut in that Kelly Smith match that we mentioned a little bit earlier. So be interesting to see how competitive she is in that match, which is a friendly. And that, because like you say, it's business for Heather O'Reilly, and whether it's a friendly or a competitive match, you know that she's going to leave everything on the pitch for 90 minutes. Another move for Arsenal, which isn't a surprise in terms of the departure, but I was a little bit surprised to see where she ended up, was Beth Mead. Sunderland striker, scored lots of goals in the few years that she's been with the club. 21 years old, still very young, has ended up at Arsenal Ladies with Heyo. Hell of a coup for Arsenal, because she scored a lot of goals for Sunderland in what last year was a struggling team. She struggled a little bit last year because she wasn't necessarily getting the service, but getting service from the likes of Heyo and Jordan Nobbs and all that talent that Arsenal have, Kim Little as well, it's going to be frightening to see Beth Mead in an Arsenal shirt.
It is. And you and I were talking about this during our time out in LA. You've had a little bit of an exodus out in Arsenal. A fair amount of players have either moved on from the game, have left the club. Not so many, I think, transfers out yet, or at least the ones that have been noticed. But there's a lot of change coming in. And, you know, Pedro Losa's done an incredible job of harvesting this young core. You obviously look up and down the roster of Arsenal right now, and you have a lot of players, 21, 22, 23, and, you know, you're still a few years away from those players hitting their peak, and, you know, already they play a very, you know, that group of players play a very high level in the sport, and, you know, adding Beth Mead, who is pretty much almost good for a goal a game in her career at Sunderland, whether it be at WSL1 or at other levels. She's a player that can, you know, change the game at the drop of a hat. Doesn't need a whole lot of space to make things happen, but she can do it. And yeah, I think that's just, as you said, it echoes what's happening over Sunderland right now after announcing they're not full-time anymore. It's part-time players. That's rough. And obviously all the full-time players, I'm not surprised that nearly all of them have departed.
Yeah, remains to be seen what the future holds for Sunderland in terms of those full-time players. Still a few there, as far as I'm aware. Another one that left was Rachel Furness, who's gone to Reading Women, another player who's made the move from the northeast down south. And she's joined the club along with New Zealand international Anna Green. And there's two solid signings for Reading. I think they're making some good strides in the transfer market. They're bringing in players. They're tying down players to new contracts. Becky Jane was one that's just signed a new contract this week. And it's interesting to see how they progress and see what they can do next season, because they struggled a little bit last year. And I think that struggle was only kind of softened by the fact that Doncaster were even worse than they were. But it'll be interesting to see how they do. Now, obviously, with Chelsea and Arsenal making all these signings, a lot of eyes have been on Manchester City. Now, City traditionally have tried to kind of stick with English players. They've gone with a strong core, and they've done that again with the signing of Birmingham City striker Melissa Lawley. Now, she might not be a Kim Little, she might not be a Heather O'Reilly, she might not be a Crystal Dunn, but I tell you what, Melissa Lawley is a very, very, very good young player in England with a lot of promise and a lot of potential. Had a good career at Birmingham City. I think that's a good signing for Man City, and she'll add a bit of depth to that squad.
And I think that's really where it comes down to, Kieran, is starting to get depth amongst these top three, four teams in the league, because you're going to have, especially in the spring series coming up, because no doubt there's going to be departures for international duty, and, you know, not quite sure what some national teams prior to the Euros are going to be doing in terms of camps, but I wouldn't be too surprised at seeing a lot of rotation in these games, because at the end of the day, you're not you know, there's nothing to be fighting for European places or anything like that. Sure, there's going to be a trophy at the end of the season, but still, this is an opportunity, really. And I said it a couple of shows ago, it's a free roll for all these teams because there's no relegation or promotion for that matter. So you have an opportunity to try and figure out what lineups are going to be best for you. So yeah, I think depth is going to be big, and Lawley's just, you know, another one of those examples where City, they haven't made that big splash signing yet to keep up with everybody else, like you said, with the names, but still, they're trying to equal in terms of overall squad, you know, rotation positioning.
Yeah, and I tell you, bringing in Melissa is a solid signing, and they can call on Megan Campbell this year. She missed pretty much the whole of last season after coming in following her graduation from Florida State, and she barely kicked a ball. I think I saw her in a friendly. She came on as a substitute against FC Rosengard. I'm not even sure if Megan played a league game, and if she did, it would only have been a couple at the start of the season. So she will be like a new signing for City as well. Melissa Lawley departing Birmingham obviously meant that they would have to try and make strides to try and replace her. They've done a good job, mate. They brought in England striker Ellen White. Now, I think Ellen struggled a little bit at Notts County after she moved there from Arsenal, and I don't think it's for any fault of her own. Whenever I saw County, she looked an isolated figure up front. She didn't have the support that she needed. She was doing a lot of work and not getting a lot of reward for it. I think at Birmingham, with players like Kirsty Lynette around her up front and midfielders like Andrien Hegerberg, who will create things for her, I think that's a good signing for Birmingham and hopefully a good fresh start for Ellen.
Yeah, and they need it, you know. You and I were talking last year about they're the team that are the odd one in the league. They are getting results. They weren't giving up goals, but they also weren't scoring goals. And, you know, sure, if you don't give up a goal, that guarantees you at least a point in every match. And it seemed for a while for Birmingham that was the way that they were going. Looking at their, you know, their overall tally, 7 wins, 6 draws in 16 matches, along with 3 losses. So that's not too bad. And if you turn a couple of those draws into wins by adding strikers and, you know, quality strikers with Ellen White, because she's done it all nearly, both for club and country, maybe one or two pieces before the start of the next season in September, August, September area, I think Birmingham still will be one of those teams fighting for a top position.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But good signing for Birmingham. Good to see Ellen get a fresh start, and I hope it works out well for her. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there, mate, on transfers. I know there have probably been others, but as I said, we're trying to keep this show a little bit shorter, and we'll certainly go into more depth on the FAWSL as the season approaches. Obviously, the spring season is only a matter of a couple of months away for WSL 1. WSL 2 kicks off in a few weeks, so we'll certainly have a look at that in an upcoming show. So after the break, we'll have a quick chat about some games that have taken place in La Manga in January.
Women's Soccer Zone would like to thank our partners, She Kicks Magazine. Subscribe at shekicks.net for even more women's football.
So, JJ, La Manga is often a place where England and other countries like to go for warm weather training. So for many, it will have been a surprise to see players posting videos and pictures on social media of it snowing in Spain. Not quite the warm weather training that teams were expecting, but there were some matches that took place out there. Mark Sampson took England over, and they played against Sweden and Norway, and Sweden and Norway also played each other, and it was Norway that came out as the biggest triumph out of that those three, beating Sweden and England in the two games that they had. 2-1 against Sweden, 1-0 against England. Martin Sjogren's first two games in charge since joining from Linköping. I put out on social media before those two results that I think Norway are in for something special. Whether it's this year or in the next couple of years, I don't know. But I think with the talent that he's got to work with, and obviously the pedigree that he's got as a coach, they looked like they could do something really, really special, as I say. And those two results are a good start for him.
Yeah, good start, you know. These matches are always difficult and a little bit fickle at times, Kieran, because you never know what you're going to get. Obviously, this being a major season for European competition, obviously with the Euros, there's no real off time. You have to get going right away. And for some squads, this is going to be three major competitions in three consecutive seasons, or three straight calendar years. So, interesting, but yeah, no, a lot of feeling out. I personally wasn't able to watch any of the matches, don't really get exposure to much for those matches over here stateside. But yeah, what I'm hearing is the Hagerbergs back at it. That's always something that you can build off of. And you know, a lot of those players as well, Kieran, you know, the last time I saw them was 2015 World Cup. And there's a good core to that group. And I think that's really where they can be scary for a lot of these teams. I know you're very high on them to maybe make a run deep into the tournament this summer.
I am. Yeah, I think with the talent that they've got, I think they should be making a run in the tournament, to be honest with you. They had players missing in Lemanga and still managed to get those two victories. Looking at England, Mark Sampson, a lot of those players haven't played for quite some time, to be fair. The players in the Sweden and Norway teams hadn't played for a while either. I think there's only a handful across the three teams who are currently in season. But I think for Mark Sampson, performance was probably more important than results. I watched the first game against Norway. I'd missed the game against Sweden because I was working. But 0-0 against Sweden, 1-0 defeat against Norway, ended a 10-game unbeaten run for England. I'm not reading too much into the result. I think the performance was better in the second half against Norway. It wasn't great in the first half. I think the problem for England at the moment is that they are struggling to score goals. I think I saw a statistic that they've only scored something like more than one goal against the top 15 teams on one occasion or two occasions in the last few years or however long it is. But I'm sure they'll get that right. I know Mark Sampson is still tinkering with his squad. As for Sweden, from what I saw, they looked good. They looked okay. The defeat against Norway was probably a little bit unfortunate. Sofia Jakobsen is a player in form at the moment. I thought she played well. She scored the goal in the 2-1 defeat. Currently top scorer in France for Montpellier. Looks like she's doing well, and obviously got good players there in Sweden with the likes of Stina Blackstenius and Fridolina Rolfo, lots of young players coming through there. So plenty going on with those three teams, and I think Holland had a couple of games while they were out there as well, mate. I know they had a good win over Russia. I think they beat Romania as well. Vivian Miedema got a hat-trick against Russia, looked as prolific as she does for her club. So lots going on in Lemanga, but I don't think you read too much. I don't know what your view is, but I don't think you read too much into the results at this early stage. I think performance is probably more important.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've mentioned it earlier, and obviously just backing off that, you have players that haven't played competitive matches for months, and that hurts in the sense of, like, you can't expect to have real good football for 90 minutes. You're going to have stretches of it. Obviously, muscle memory comes back. You know, playing with these players, obviously, you're going to find some links. You're about a quarter step off at this point, maybe more to a half step, just because of the fact that, you know, you can train as much as you want, but training in match situations is a completely different demon and beast. So, yeah, I'm with you. You can't look much into it. You try and highlight, you know, did players who were assigned certain tasks on the day, did they complete those tasks? I think that's really what a lot of these matches are about. I think probably when England comes to play in the She Believes Cup, I think that's where the next step is going to be taken for that side. You know, how close are they then? Because at that point, then, you know, you've played, what, 3-4 maybe competitive matches with club sides. You'll have had another good, you know, week of training or so, and then you play 3 competitive games. That's where you get a real test of where you are at that moment. And, you know, that point after, there's only so much time to tinker. You have to go with what you have.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mentioned earlier a stat about England's goal scoring. I found it. It was by a BBC journalist who said, I don't think England have scored more than one goal versus a top 10 nation since the World Cup, which is a run of 10 games, which is something that they'll need to try and rectify before the Euros, because obviously they're going to be playing a lot of teams from the top 15, top 20 nations, and they'll certainly want to try and rectify that. We'll move on, mate. We're talking about teams that haven't played. We've sensed that you can't expect a lot from teams that haven't played many games, or players that have had time off. And one of the teams that haven't played for a little while and won't be playing until the She Believes Cup is the United States. Now, as I said, I was out in Carson, Los Angeles last week, and I've got some audio from Ali Long and Carly Lloyd, and we'll play some of that in a minute. But I guess from my perspective, I'd like to know what you think the big thing is for the US this year. No major competition to focus on. The next major competition for them isn't until the 2019 World Cup. So what's the aim? What's the goal for the US this year in terms of what they should be achieving?
it's a loaded question, Kieran, because there's one large elephant that we still haven't resolved yet, which would be their collective bargaining agreement. I mean, you and I were joking prior to, like, when, you know, why has it been this long since the U.S. national team hasn't played? You know, granted, they need a break, because let's face it, that sometimes they have a real ragged schedule. I mean, you're playing, you know, exhibitions and friendly matches twice a month for times, maybe even more, depending on how loaded it is. It's been a real, real long, I think 24 months for them, maybe even longer than that. So they need a break, but we can't even really answer that question, to be honest with you, because we don't even know what's happening with the collective bargaining agreements discussions. We haven't heard a whole lot. I'm pretty sure I wasn't able to hear much from, you know, the couple of media sessions that they had with the national team, but it doesn't sound like anybody's making any waves or, you know, saying anything like, oh yeah, discussions are going great, they're going great, we should have things resolved. We haven't heard anything. So, you know, once we really know what's going on there, then I think we can actually talk about, you know, what their goals are.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I tend to kind of steer clear of the CBA a little bit. I tend to leave it to you guys. You guys know more about it than I do. I know there have been situations in other American sports where CBA debates have kind of, you know, spilled out and gone on for a little while. I know Becky Sauerbrunn, I think, was asked about it in the first media session that took place while we were in LA. And again, she played her cards quite close to her chest. And I don't think the players have got a lot to say about it. So to me, there's no point in really asking the question. It's being dealt with by the powers that be, whether it's the legal teams or US soccer, and hopefully they can come to some form of resolution. But two players that we were able to speak to while I was out in LA, as I mentioned, were Carly Lloyd and Ali Long. And CBA wasn't one of the discussions that we had, but aims and goals for the coming year were. We spoke about Ali Long's transition from midfield into defence, and if you haven't read my piece for Equaliser Soccer, please do so. But there's a little bit more from Ali in this interview. So we'll play Carly and Ali, and then JJ and I will come back to wrap the show up.
Carly, one of the things that I've been really thinking about with you going into the next year is just, you seem like you're just in exceptional shape for your age, but then I think back to players like Christy Rampone and Christine Lilly, other players who seem like exceptionally prepared for the next 3 or 4 years of the cycle. So what do you think makes you different that you can transcend these next 2 or 3 years where those other specimens, they kind of hit a wall at some point?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think everybody's different. My training, you know, has really propelled every single year. I think every single year I've been fitter than the year prior. Mm-hmm. Right now, you know, it's about becoming as strong as possible. Obviously, you know, my age is getting up there, but I do think that is just a number. I mean, I take care of myself on and off the pitch. You know, really good shape, and now I just have to keep continuing to get stronger. You know, and I feel really good. You know, I wouldn't continue to play if I was a detriment to the team and not you know, still you know, doing well against some of these 17-year-olds. So it's been good, but you know, yeah, obviously players like Rampone and Lily, you know, there's very few that have been able to play at a very, you know, older age, older considered soccer-wise. But, yeah, I'm feeling really good and just want to keep improving, getting stronger and fitter as well.
It's a little weird to ask you questions acting like you're that old, because you're not that old.
But soccer terms, yeah, it's a little, you know, yeah. a little old, obviously. But, yeah. No, I feel great, you know.
How does the positional shift help that? I mean, you've, throughout the course of the last, I guess, like 6 or 8 years, you've slowly moved forward in the formation. Do you view that as something that'll help your longevity?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy that I'm moving forward versus backwards. I like to attack. I like to, you know, help the team up in front of the goal. So, yeah, I do think that, you know, that probably is a factor. I mean, I think the way that we're playing now, you know, teams are bunkering in. So, you know, we may come out in a three back. Mm-hmm. So to have me all the way back there, maybe just spraying balls, I know Jill and the coaching staff would probably want me up closer to the goal.
That sounds kind of fun, though.
Which is great for me, you know, and I'll play wherever is needed, you know, whether that's out wide, whether that's, you know, as a double nine up top, whether it's tacky mid in the 10 role. My goal is to just keep doing what I've been doing, be the player that I have been, you know, train and play as if I've achieved nothing, continue to improve and help the team. That's really, you know, ultimately my goals. Because if I'm doing that, then the team is better off and play where I'm needed. But I'm happy that I'm creeping closer to goal, which is good. You know, I've done a lot of the dirty work for quite some time on the national team, and now I'm in a position to get higher up on the field and help in the final third.
What's the biggest motivation for you this year, Carly? Last year you were going into an Olympic year, the year before you were going into a World Cup year. No major tournament this year, so what's the mindset going into 2017 for you on an individual level?
Just like what I reiterated a few minutes ago, just continue to be the player that I've been. Not changing anything. I want to become a better leader. I want to help my team in any way possible, and I want to just keep improving. I mean, that's ultimately the goal. I mean, even though it's a bit of an off year, I look at it as a year of a lot of opportunities. We've got the She Believes Cup, we've got lots of friendlies, we've got the NWSL. So my job is to improve on a daily basis and continue to get better. And before we know it, we'll be in 2019 World Cup mode and getting ready for that. But we've got a lot of preparation and a lot of things, and just all about improvement and getting better in that final third.
Carly, last year was a banner year for you again. Congratulations on getting married, by the way.
Thank you.
Best player in the world again. Do you have aspirations to coach? I mean, I think the entire country would love it if you were thinking about coaching perhaps when you were ready to hang up your boots. Is that something that you've thought about at all?
I'm in play mode right now, but there is always a possibility. I think what people don't realize is that just because you're maybe a great player on the field doesn't mean it's going to translate and you're going to be a great coach. And, you know, when I step into a role, I want to be the best at it. That's just kind of how I'm wired. You know, I don't go about it as, you know, just want to be, you know, a participant on the national team. No, I mean, my goal is to become the best. And so if I were to go to the coaching route, I would need a lot of hours, and just a lot of work in kind of that role. And so I wouldn't want to just jump into something just because I'm Carly Lloyd and I finished up a great career. But it's definitely something that I would consider, because I think, you know, my story and just all of my experiences can help the next generation, which is really important. And, hopefully I can do that in some capacity.
And just real quick, Heather O'Reilly signed for my Gunners, which is amazing. Do you think she's going to share her love of country music with with the girls in the changing room?
Yeah, we'll see. Her country music and her dancing, I don't know. It's good. I'm super happy for her. I think it's a great opportunity. It's kind of the perfect timing for her. I know she's a huge advocate of the NWSL, but I know that, you know, this is an awesome opportunity for her. So I wish her all the best, and hopefully she does well there.
Cheers, Carly, talk to Randy a little bit at the draft, and he seems pretty excited about getting you back in, trying you as a false nine, as you did a couple times towards the end of last season. I wanted to get your state of mind on it, because between injury and some drama last year, it was such a weird year for you and Houston at club level.
Yeah, I mean, last year, obviously, you know, my knee, I took the appropriate time. I don't have an issue with my MCL, and that's what I wanted to happen after that injury. I didn't want to rush back just because I had to get back. I wanted to make sure that the knee injury went away, and unfortunately, I missed out on, some key months for the team. I think that, I think we did underperform a little bit last year. I think we had some great personnel in place, and was definitely, you know, looking to be a brighter year for us. And I think this year we've got a few more pieces to that puzzle. We've got, you know, some backs in place. We've signed some great players, Jane Campbell, which is exciting, goalkeeper position. So I think, you know, it's looking to be a promising year. And obviously with no Olympics, no World Cup, I will be there, and it'll be, great to be a part of that.
It was weird because right when you went out, the team lost like 6 straight 1-0 games. So what was it like for you staying on the sideline, knowing that, you know, one player can only be so impactful, but 6 straight 1-0 games is really weird to look in on?
Yeah, it's close. I mean, you lose by that margin. I know a lot of those came in the last, 10, 15 minutes of the match, which was disappointing. And, when I came back,
obviously the Olympics didn't go as we would have liked, but when I came back, you know, I wanted to have an impact. Obviously I'd missed so much and I wanted to do anything possible to help the team, and you know, we did go on a pretty decent run, but unfortunately missed out on playoffs again. So hopefully this next season we'll get back there and be all right.
One more NWSL question. One game that I've really been looking at a lot lately is the end of the year trip to Portland, where they really seem to kind of crack down on Kay on one side, and you have those two quick center backs like right up against you. Do you think you or the team learned anything going into next year about how a false nine would work based on how Mark Parsons prepared for you guys then?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, tactics are tactics, and I think, I'm sure Jill has said this before, I mean, you know, we may play multiple formations, but at the end of the day, you know, we need to be very sophisticated and be able to switch positions and be able to integrate into different roles while the game is going on. You know, just because you're a false nine or somebody's an outside mid, there's going to be defensive responsibilities because of our shape, where we may be out of position and a forward or an outside mid may have to sprint back for a back. So there's all these kind of moving parts. So I think, you know, Randy, I haven't spoken to him yet on the tactic side, but I'm sure that he's kind of reflected on the last couple of seasons, and now with the new personnel, figured out what's best for our team and what we can do moving forward.
The team's lost a couple of really big personalities over the last year, hasn't it? When you look at legendary players like Abby and obviously Hope. What type of personality do you think this team has now? You've always had this grit and determination. I think that's the American way anyway, in sports in general. But as a true leader now, and you have been for so long with the younger players coming in, what do you say to them, and what type of personality do you think this team's developing?
Well, I think it's different. I think, yeah, we lost some legendary pieces to this team, you know, pieces that will never be replaced. That's just how it is. But we've also gained some different blood, some new energized players who maybe haven't been in the mix, who are... you know, really just kind of fighting for a position. We do have some veteran players still around. And ultimately, you know, I think that we are a different team, but I think the game in general, women's soccer, is different as well. And so we need to adapt to that, and we need to bring out our American grit, which, you know, I know Jill wants us to be a high-pressing team, and as soon as we lose the ball, win it back again. So we can't lose that, but we also need to become a little bit more sophisticated, and I think you saw that against Sweden in the Olympics. There will be teams that will probably bunker a little bit more, and we have to be a little bit more finesse to figure out how to break those teams down. But bright future with this team, and just looking forward to the next cycle.
It's so similar. It's just like an extremely holding, yeah. Holding mid, like really deep. But I like love it. I love like kind of just getting the ball and starting the attack, kind of being the quarterback, and so far I like it. I obviously have to just continue to keep learning it, and it's different from holding mid in defending ways, but I really like it, and it's growing on me for sure.
I talked to Mark a little bit about the transition this week, but one question I forgot to ask him, have you actually talked to Mark about how Jill's playing you?
Yes, I have, because at first I was like, before I left, he was just like joking with me and just saying like, you had a great season as a holding mid, you know, like whatever. How would you feel about, you know, just trying center back? And I was like, you know, you're lying. Like, you're just messing with me. And then like after like practice, I was like, did you know? And he was like, no. And he was like, wow, that's like really funny and ironic. But he's like, I bet you'd be great at just like continue growing as a player. And I'm like, okay. So I've just kind of just taking that and just continuing just to grow and make sure that, like, I love having a high percentage of possession, so just making sure my possession is good on tackles, and just like just continuing one step at a time, just getting better every single time I play and step on the field.
Fingers, things that you can learn, Ali, from the position that you're playing for the national team, taking that into the club team and vice versa, you know, having that opportunity to maybe know what your defenders are thinking when you're with Portland and what your midfield positions are when you're with the national team.
For sure, that was like one of the first things that I noticed. I was like, this is going to make me so much better at like my actual position, and I feel like I kind of am learning from not playing there, like what I need that six to do where to step, where to slide, what to cut off, when to go a little higher, when not to. And so in an ironic way, it's like actually helping me become a better six.
Have you watched other players who've had to adapt to different roles? We've seen it a lot in the Premier League in the last few seasons, where holding midfielders have been asked to kind of play a centre-back. Sure. Have you done any of that?
Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of soccer, and I mean, Man City has kind of like done that, where they bring their centre-back is like almost the one that is one of the most like technical, and they're kind of like creating the attack. And so and also I love Sergio Busquets, and I just saw Barcelona, they needed a goal up or whatever, and he dropped to center back, and I just kind of like watch him. It's very similar, obviously his back's not to goal, but very similar. And I do watch a lot of soccer, and that's where I try to learn most of my things and see what the best are doing and how they're doing it, and like I enjoy that part of learning and watching a lot of soccer.
What's your favorite thing about being part of this team and being part of this camp? And you know, so many great players have come before you guys, and now you have a massive opportunity to be part of something and geared towards some major competitions coming up. What does it mean to you to be part of all this?
Well, it's such an honor to play for your country. It's a dream come true, and just every day being challenged and like growing as a player and getting better. I want to be the best player I can be every time I step on the field, and so being challenged by being surrounded by so many other great players is something that I love. And I love like being in that like pressure situation and being under pressure literally and like around me. And so I love it. I love practice. I love inner squad. I just love also the game. So it's something that I love coming to camp every single time. It's an honor.
Someone who's based in Europe, Ali, as an outsider looking in, we see the pressure that comes with playing for the US Women's National Team. There's no major tournament this year. Is there possibly that opportunity this year to play with a little bit more freedom because you haven't got that competition to focus on? You can maybe try a few different things and maybe develop in certain areas.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good point. Like, the next 2 years are kind of these, like, they're evaluating, but they also... I was playing yesterday, and Tony was kind of just like, try things. Like, you're in practice, like this is your time to make mistakes, and that's okay. And like, it's easy to play very safe when you're in a center back, and he wants me to try to hit those long balls and try to play those passes that could get picked off, but just to be in those situations and continue to just like literally grow and try different things. And so it's kind of, although there's not a World Cup or an Olympics, it is like there are huge games this year, and against great competition. I think that every time we're practicing here is just like preparing us to try different things when we go against these great teams, and that will kind of see where we're at.
Has your mindset changed at all from somebody who a couple years ago was fighting to get into the team to somebody now who, I mean, I can't remember the last time you weren't called up?
It is different, but my mindset kind of, I'm still the same person that like just wants to be the best player that I can be, and I'm so competitive. I want to win every time I step on the field, and playing for this team just like, I guess, intensifies that. But it is different when you're like, when your dream is just to get there, just to get there. And now that I'm here, like, you set different goals and different dreams, and your training's different because you know what it took to get there. Now you need to even like do even more to like continue to grow. So it has changed, but like the same like mentality of like playing for the for your country and being surrounded by the best players is still there, and your desire to just be the best in that environment is still there.
Women's Soccer Zone. It's all about the players.
So that was Carly Lloyd and Ali Long. JJ, I know there's been a lot of trades and transfers that have taken place in the United States that we haven't spoken about. Some of the big ones, I guess the biggest one for me was probably Diana Matheson going to the Seattle Reign. That was another big blow for Washington very quickly. What did you make of that one?
The mass exodus continues for Washington. I mean, this, you'll look at it, this was a team that, you know, they're still going to be decent. You know, there's no doubt about it, but they have ripped out the foundation of, really, from day one of what this team was. I mean, Torrey Huster is the only player that started with the club that is still there right now. Diana Matheson was one of those players that was with the club since day one. Obviously, Allie Krieger was as well. And, you know, all these players that have moved, I'm really starting to question what that team will look like come day one. We'll obviously get answers closer to the season, but I think that's a brilliant move for Seattle, because now you reunite the Naren Matheson midfield that was in Washington, now in Seattle. You're looking for the pieces to kind of replace Kim Little. It's tough to replace one person with one person, but I think by the collective what they've been doing, they've gotten themselves a nice little deal, and they gave up very, very minimally for her.
Yeah, well, they've also added, I'm just looking at my Twitter account, mate, they've just broken some news that Australian Larissa Crummer has also joined for the new season. Forward player, very, very big, promising, and lots of potential. I think that's a shrewd bit of business there by Laura Harvey, adding a bit more attacking options to her team. But, I mean, looking across the league, any other sort of trades or transfers that stand out for you before we wrap up?
I mean, that Crummer news, I didn't see that one happening. You caught me by surprise a little bit there, mate. That's a big one for them as well, because it's cover both on the defensive side and can help in the midfield. So, otherwise, no, I don't have really much going on right now. I'm trying to process that one. That's why we call this sometimes. It's a little more live on recording this show than a lot of people anticipate.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Anything that we've forgotten, we can cover off on the next show. But before we do, we obviously need to make people aware, if you haven't seen on our social media channel already, Women's Soccer Zone is finally, after nearly 4 years of the podcast running, is going to have its own website. womenssoccerzone.com is launching on Friday, the 27th of January, 5 p.m. UK time. And it's something that we've been working on for a good few weeks now, and something that we've wanted to do for a little while, but it's just been a case of, I guess, getting the timing right, JJ. I mean, you obviously already work for Our Game magazine. You are going to contribute to Women's Soccer Zone, but, you know, another news outlet, another website, just to kind of complement what's going on elsewhere.
Yeah, I think, you know, you and I have been discussing this for a while, and you were toying back and forth, should we do it, should we not do it? I think now is the time to do it, because, you know, when we were discussing and, you know, putting together the thoughts of what's the purpose, what's going to make this site different, and obviously I'll let you kind of go into that a bit, but it's a couple of prongs. This isn't it's not going to be your massive news site, right? It's going to be more, you know, telling the story behind the story, trying to give people something, you know, fresh perspective on things, some others, obviously a good supplement to this show. And I think third, you know, this was something that you were very high on, I'll let you speak to it. It's about giving writers opportunities, because, you know, there's a lot of alternate sites out there, whether they be news sites or blog sites, what have you, but, you know, developing good writers is always something that I'm high on. I know you're high on. I think this is a great chance for some people who may have not gotten, you know, pieces out before, or who are only still very new in the process. This is another chance for them to kind of explore their strengths.
Yeah, without doubt. Without doubt. I think we're keeping the team quite tight at the moment. We're not really looking for anyone else, but we've got 6 writers on board, if you include you and myself, and the other 4 are all female. And that was a big thing for me as well. We don't see enough female writers in the press box in England especially, but there are some great ones out in the United States. Obviously, you and I were with a lot of them in the NWSL medias with the draft recently. But there are some that are not given the opportunity, and we've got 4, I think, really good female ones that are based in 4 different countries as well, which makes it interesting. So, yeah, you're right. I'm not sure how different this site will be, but it's like you said, you know, when a piece of news breaks, we won't be breaking that news, but maybe we'll try and get an interview with someone who's involved in that piece of news. So I think that's kind of the angle that we're going. So for those that are tuning in, the new site will have, for launch, will have pieces with, I spoke to Alex Morgan along with other media while I was in Los Angeles. JJ has done a really in-depth profile piece on Tyler Lucy, who was drafted out of the NWSL college draft to the Portland Thorns. So he's done a really good piece with her. We've got pieces on Tobina Potsdam. We've got a piece with Martin Sjogren, the new Norway head coach who we mentioned earlier. What else have we got? We've got a piece with Steph Horton looking ahead to 2017 and how she tries to top the achievements of 2016. We've got a piece with Christy and Sam Mewis and Steph McCaffrey on Sporting Chic and their venture in trying to engage with sports fans, you know, not just in football and soccer, but in other sports as well. So, you know, we've got a good variation as we launch, and we're looking to do similar when we, as we move forward. There'll be opinion pieces, there'll be features, the podcast can be found on the website as well. So do have a look at it. We're not expecting masses of feedback, but if you do want to give us feedback, then please do so. There's a contact form on the website as well. Tell us people that you want us to interview. Tell us on, you know, features that you'd like to see, and we can have a look at that and see if it's something that we can accommodate. But yeah,
and really, I think also, sorry, Kieran, but I think also one of the things I'm kind of excited about, you and I were chatting, is, you know, we're going to try and get some players as well to answer some questions and try to get some fan, you know, fans want to engage with players. That's always the big thing. And why not for us to have an opportunity to do that as well?
Absolutely. That's one thing. One of the writers that we've got is currently kind of leading on a fan zone section. So we will have you will have the opportunity to ask questions to players on our social media channels, and we'll get those answered and write that up for the website. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. It could fall flat on its face, and if it does fall flat on its face, we will walk away and leave it to the other people. But we're confident that we've got something that people will really enjoy. So yeah, as I said, womenssoccerzone.com, lots of features, podcasts on there, so do have a look. As I said, Friday the 27th, 5 p.m. UK time, it will be live. So you can follow us on Twitter as well. We're on @WOSOZone. As I said, you can email us on WOSOZone@gmail.com. Or, of course, when the site is live, you can use the contact form there. And, of course, you can listen to the podcast on the website or through iTunes. JJ, thanks for your time as always, mate.
Absolutely. It's always a blast.
Thanks, guys. We will catch up with you very soon. Take care and bye-bye.